Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
They don't have the votes, even though published reports indicate that Vice President Biden, the President of the Senate, has been calling senators and asking them to support the Manchin-Toomey bill.
Republican Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa there, as today will be a pivotal day on the divisive issue of gun regulation. The Senate will vote this afternoon on the background check bill with expansion of gun rights, actually a possibility too, as you may have just heard on NPR News. All of these outcomes are still in doubt. Senator Frank Lautenberg's health, a potentially decisive factor, and Heidi Prisbilla, congressional reporter from Bloomberg News in Washington, joins us now. Heidi, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
So first of all, I thought Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid would not schedule a background check vote unless he knew he had the votes. Is he going ahead despite uncertainty over the outcome?
That was when he thought he could get the votes. Things are not looking good this morning. We've had a week of intense lobbying by families of victims from Newtown. We had Gabby Giffords, who flew in yesterday to make an emotional appeal to Democrats in their caucus luncheon. And we've had, you know, advocates tirelessly working the phones. I think they've made a determination that at this point there is nothing more that they can do to move these lawmakers, and so they need to cast the vote. Now, I've talked on background with some of the leadership staffers who, you know, have been following this from the beginning, and they say, look, if this goes down today, as it may, there's a chance that we just need to let these members, you know, who are spooked by their votes last week, to vote down all of these amendments, and then maybe we can try and bring them up again at a later date. But at this time, according to the vote counts that we have, they're about at least five votes short.
Wow, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
Now, when you say spooked by the votes they cast last week, do you mean some of the Republicans who voted to end the filibuster on this bill?
Republicans and Democrats who voted that way. If you recall, there were only two Democrats, Mark Pryor and Mark Begich, who voted against essentially having a debate on gun legislation. There are five of them, however, five red state Democrats who are up for re-election in 2014 who could, you know, be taking a real risk here. If you'll recall, the NRA, when it came out in opposition to this compromise legislation, said that it was not only going to hold the votes for the actual legislation against these lawmakers in its scorecard, but it would hold the vote, the procedural vote that these lawmakers took last week, simply to have a debate on this issue.
In other words, the Senate voted to end the filibuster against debating the background check bill, but they still need 60 votes in order to pass it because there's kind of this permanent assumed filibuster against the content of the bill, correct?
That's right. It's the Senate filibuster rules, and you know, we have a 60-vote threshold now for every single one of these amendments. Now, we've known for a long time that the assault weapons ban and the ban on high-capacity magazines wasn't going to go anywhere. But if you think back to where we were in the immediate aftermath of Newtown, for many lawmakers in the Democratic leadership, it was almost unimaginable that they wouldn't be able to do something on background checks. Because let's be clear about what this legislation does. And, you know, Manchin has been trying to sing this from the treetops here. This is just basically expanding what is already current law. It closes loopholes in the current law for commercial sales. So background checks are already the law of the land for most commercial sales. If you go into a gun shop, try to buy a weapon, you get a background check. That's not the case if you try and buy firearms over the Internet. Or if you go to a gun show, there's sometimes private transactions that take place there that are not subject to background checks. This would close those loopholes.
Right. But when you talk about the fear that Democrats and, for that matter, Republicans who might be inclined to vote for this on the merits feel if they're up for re-election next year, the polls show that 90% of Americans support the idea of universal background checks. So how much political courage would they actually need to go against the NRA in their re-election on this?
That is the question. And you know, the untold story in all of this is that the NRA, in some ways, are the moderates in this, because I talked with some of the Republicans and Democrats who are would-be targets. Now, Susan Collins, Maine, she's not up, but she is being targeted. She told me, you wouldn't believe some of these groups I've never heard of before that have completely conflated my position on the issues, and they're morphing my face into Barack Obama all across the airwaves in Maine simply because I supported an anti-trafficking provision. And so I think if you assume that the public had perfect information and that there is such broad support for background checks that they shouldn't have that fear, but in many cases there are a lot of groups that are playing dirty. Basically.
Well, it's still very, very little confidence in their own ability to communicate against those, you know, using hardball media tactics against them. I'm going to lighten this up a little bit for just a minute because okay. I saw, by the way, on your company's Bloomberg Business Week site that the number two most shared article on the site is the one about the Saturday Night Live spoof on the gun control filibuster and the bill last weekend. So we're going to play a piece of it. This is Jason Sudeikis and Bill Hader as the gang of two dealmakers, Senators Manchin and Toomey.
First of all, most Americans agree that we need stricter background checks. If our bill passes, no individual can purchase a handgun from a private dealer without being asked, are you a good person? As well as the follow-up question, seriously, are you?
We're also hoping to limit the amount of ammunition you can carry in magazines. We did not do that, though.
But we have agreed to limit the number of guns you can shoot at once to two.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, this might go without saying, but none of these restrictions would apply to Florida. We don't know why.
Yeah.
It definitely should.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, because I know we type, you know, Florida into the bill, but when we print it out, you know, I mean, it's just not there. It's
spooky thing. Yeah. We are confident that this bill will pass the Senate, and it will then go to the House of Representatives, where it will immediately get shot down.
That's right. And that is not a metaphor. No, they will literally throw the bill up in the air and shoot it with a gun. I've seen it done. Yeah,
me too.
C-SPAN gets a little rowdy sometimes.
Nice, huh?
Well, some of that is true.
I love the Florida part.
Right, Florida, that's a jab at Marco Rubio, who, of course, is one of the biggest opponents of this. But honestly, I don't know how they could single him out. I don't know why they've singled him out, not Saturday Night Live, but I just mean in general, because pretty much the Republican conference is pretty unified. Against us, there's been a few Republicans like John McCain and Susan Collins who've said that they will support it. But for the most part, there's unanimity there.
And maybe they will have another bit to do this weekend on Saturday Night Live, or maybe whatever happens today, what it seems like you think is going to happen today, they're going to have a hard time finding the humor in. My guest is Heidi Prisbilla, congressional reporter for Bloomberg News. And is the Boston bombing affecting the gun vote in either direction?
I've been surprised at how little effect it seems to have had. I mean, we had basically a one-day pause yesterday, and I'm not convinced it was necessarily because of what happened in Boston. I think, you know, the Democratic leaders saw that they didn't have the votes, and they were hoping to buy an extra day to try and get them. But, you know, there was also, out of deference to what happened in Boston, that they delayed things by day. But, you know, for the most part, I don't see that it's had much of an effect. And, you know, I was here after 9/11, and when I say here, I mean in Washington, you know, covering news at the White House, and just been surprised at the lack of, I guess, pause, if you will, that this town has taken after really, you know, the biggest tragedy that we've had on our own soil here since 9/11. It's kind of business as usual.
Interesting. What does it tell you? Anything?
Maybe it tells you something about how this country has become desensitized. Maybe it tells you something about just how entrenched the politics in this town have become that, you know, Obama came out yesterday and in the days after the tragedy, it called for both sides. You know, there's no Republicans, there's no Democrats. It's all kind of come together. And of course, after 9/11, that was just intuitive.
Right. And here is the president saying that.
I've updated leaders of Congress in both parties, and we reaffirm that on days like this, there are no Republicans or Democrats. We are Americans united in concern for our fellow citizens.
But on everything else, there are still Republicans and Democrats. By the way, New Jersey Senator Frank Lautenberg, 89 years old and ill. He has missed many votes in recent weeks. Is he coming in for this gun vote?
You know, we don't know the answer to that yet, but based on the counts that I just cited in terms of them being five short, I'm not sure that it's going to matter. I think that if it was going to matter, that he would get here. That was basically what we heard from leadership yesterday. But with things looking so grim this morning, I'm not sure that it's going to be necessary because they're going to fall pretty short unless something dramatic happens in the next several hours.
Any talk of Lautenberg retiring before his term ends at the end of next year to avoid this kind of thing again in a 60-vote world?
No, because, you know, he's pretty much been here. He's been here. I don't know what the status is with his health at the moment, but, you know, up until this event, you know, I don't think that it's been a huge issue, not at least publicly, that the leadership has talked about. But that's something that they'll have to consider, especially if they do move other Democrats later today, and it turns out it's too late for him to make that move and to get here to put it over the top. That would be very significant.
That would start a conversation in New Jersey, where of course Republican Governor Christie would get to appoint his replacement. So that would be a firestorm of partisanship, I'm sure, that the governor would want to avoid. Like, should he appoint a Democrat, since that's who the people elected in a landslide in Lautenberg? I wonder if we'll have this debate in Christie's reelection year, but maybe that will depend on whether they actually fall one vote shy today because he couldn't make it, which sounds like an unlikely scenario. These amendments that could actually wind up expanding gun owners' rights, like a concealed carry reciprocity provision. So if you have a concealed carry permit in Wyoming, you can come into New York City with your concealed weapon, even though the laws here are much, much, much tighter. Could something like that be the key to a deal in the last hours?
I think it's more like a poison pill, to be honest, because I think there's many Democrats who would not go for that and would bail out. So I don't think that they'd have enough votes for in the end.
That is a deal breaker. I had another guest on Monday who speculated that Senator Schumer, for example, would not agree to that weakening in effect of New York State's concealed carry restrictions, and that would be a deal breaker for him. Has he said so?
Yeah, as much. I spoke with him last week when he was with the Newtown families here. They did a news conference, and he called it one of the most pernicious amendments possible. So while he did not say, I won't vote for it, I mean, he pretty much can assume that based on the language that he's used on that amendment, and also said that he speaks for others in his party. You know, in the past, it has drawn bipartisan support. You know, there's different laws in different states, but in one way or the other, a lot of states do have the opportunity to get permits for concealed carry. And so I guess it would depend on specifically how they word it. I haven't looked at the specifics of that amendment, but I suppose it's possible that they could do something with the language in there to try and draw more Democrats. But the way it, I'm kind of, you know, skeptical based on the language we've seen from the leadership in the past few days.
Heidi Prisbilla, congressional reporter for Bloomberg News, updating us on her reporting that the Democrats or supporters, let's say, of the universal background checks bill or nearly universal background checks are going to fall about five votes short, the way it looks right now, in the vote coming later today. Let me change the topic entirely, but stay on one of our local senators. Margaret Thatcher is being laid to rest today, and I read that New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez, of all people, introduced the resolution yesterday to recognize her. Why would a liberal Democrat do that?
It sounds like They were trying to come up with some kind of a resolution that was a bit more detailed, citing in specific her contributions and her achievements, the Republicans, I mean. And there was some, you know, under-the-radar grousing that Democrats were holding up their efforts, and Menendez in particular was cited as you know, one of the perpetrators here. I think this is just maybe, you know, something, an attempt to inoculate himself from that kind of criticism, and I wouldn't make too much of it, and I don't think many people here on the Hill are, with everything that's going on right now on immigration and guns and ricin attacks and bombings in Boston.
How about that ricin letter? Spiked with ricin, a letter spiked with ricin, the poison that arrived at a senator's office. Who was the target? And I heard one report it might not actually be a ricin letter. Is there any doubt?
Based on what I've heard, they definitely had confirmed that it was a poisonous substance like ricin. If it's possible, I guess it could have been a variant of that, but I think they're pretty sure about it. Postal workers intercepted the letter yesterday. It never made it to the Capitol, and lawmakers learned about it while they were being briefed on the Boston bombings. Apparently, they have a suspect. It's someone who, all they'll say at this point is it's someone who has written a lot to members of Congress, though they haven't made any arrests. It was addressed to Senator Wicker, a Republican, conservative Republican from Mississippi, although authorities are saying they're not sure that he was the target. The letter came from Tennessee, but at this point we have no indication that there's other poisonous letters out there, although, you know, they're on high alert right now, and that facility is effectively locked down, the Maryland postal facility, and they're going through it to make sure nothing's been contaminated and there's no other letters in there. But, you know, it really kind of invokes memories of 9/11, in that, you know, you had a very eerie similarities here, and that you had the attacks on 9/11, and then you had the anthrax mailings targeting lawmakers, and here we have Boston, and then this ricin letter. So it sounds like maybe some kind of a copycat thing. But of course, the anthrax was much more serious because five people were killed, and
right.
In this case, everyone's unharmed.
So just to finish back on guns, if your headcount holds and they fall short of passing this background checks bill this afternoon, if it actually fails on the floor of the Senate, is that it? Is this whole post-Newtown gun reform effort dead?
I'm told by Democratic leaders that they believe, and this is where the public comes in, that the public backlash to this will be so great that lawmakers can just sit and stew in their votes over the weekend or over the following week and see how they feel, and that they believe there's some procedural maneuvers they can use, like bring it up as a motion to reconsider, or maybe make a slight tweak, in which case they can bring the legislation, the background check legislation, up again for a vote. And so at this hour, they have not given up. But that all depends very much on how the public responds to what is about to happen.
Mm-hmm. All right. Heidi Prisbull, a congressional reporter for Bloomberg News. Thank you so much. Very informative.
You're welcome.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, an exit interview with the outgoing CUNY chancellor, Matthew Goldstein, who transformed the university in his 14 years at the helm. He's retiring after the school year. Stay with us.